Today's Monday, November 18th. This is All Things Apostolic. We're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Stay with us. It's almost Thanksgiving. Welcome to All Things Apostolic. This is November the 18th, 2024, and we're about, 10 days from Thanksgiving. And of course, for you and I, Thanksgiving is every day because we are thankful. We are thankful for all that God is doing. So we welcome you to All Things Apostolic. Oh man, there are so many things going on and so many things happening, and they're all good. There's bad things going on, but the ones I'm talking about are all good, that we just are very excited about it. I guess I could just start by saying 24 hours ago, we were in church, 23 hours and 45 minutes or whatever it is. And Pastor Young preached a great message about four things that the early church participated in immediately after they received the Holy Ghost. And it was really, really good. And it set up the church for last night. And last night was a Holy Ghost rally in which the churches came together. There was a great crowd. And it was tremendous service. Brother Dross preached so good about the presence and the power. Just good. I'm not going to re-preach his message today, but it was good, extremely good. And we had prayer for the sick. A lot of folks getting prayed for. The ministry lined up across the front. There was, I don't know, scores of people getting prayed for. We know that God's still a healer. While I was walking and praying in our church, on each side of the platform is the prayer rooms. You just step off the platform and the prayer rooms are right there. The men's on, if you're facing the podium, the men's is on the left and the women's is on the right. And these are fairly large areas, tremendously set up. I love the setup. It's not off in some separate room from the church, and it's not just standing in front of the podium praying before church where people are a spectacle, but it's connected in the auditorium. You can see people praying. If they don't want you to, they can kneel down and you can't see them. And it's just, it's a tremendous setup. So I was over there praying before service, and while I was praying, some folks are walking, some folks are sitting, some folks are kneeling. And while I was praying, one of the older gentlemen in our church came up to me and interrupted me. I was just walking in a circle with a bunch of other brethren. And he stopped me and he said, "Brother Wilson, I just want to tell you." He said, "You prayed for me the other day. I asked you to pray for me. You prayed for me." He said, "My feet were so swollen, I had to wear a size 12. He said, "I'm now wearing size 10 this morning. I couldn't walk. I had to have assistance. He said, "You can see here I'm walking and I'm praying." He said, "God absolutely healed me." And it was a tremendous thing. And we have other just outstanding examples of God healing people. It's just really an exciting thing to see. So I'm sure there was many other people last night that got healed. And then he made a call for people who wanted to receive the Holy Ghost. And many people came. And I think last night the final count was 48 people received the Holy Ghost last night. And some got baptized. I don't know how many got baptized. But it was a tremendous night. It was a tremendous night. So the results were, and I was, you know, sometimes people, when a church has a large group get the Holy Ghost in one service, people are skeptical, especially people that are trying to find fault anyway. They'll be skeptical. Well, did they really receive the Holy Ghost, or did they just kind of ramrod something down their throat or something? You always have these questions. But I was there, and others there. I stepped over to Sister Anna Ballinger at one point, and I said, "Well, one thing you and I know is that these people are really receiving the Holy Ghost, because we're the ones standing here laying hands on them along with many others and praying them through. And we know that they're receiving the real Holy Ghost." And so it was a beautiful thing to see. This is just a guess. I don't know. I would guess that probably 75% of those that received the Holy Ghost were adults. Men and women, just a whole diverse variety of cultures, from Caucasian all the way into every other nationality and ethnic group that is prominent in the Sacramento area. And then there was probably, maybe it was more, it may have been 80% of adults, but there was also a number of children that received the Holy Ghost. "For the promise is unto you and your children and all those that are far off." So that's the biblical account and promise that Peter made while preaching on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell. Of course, there may be some of you listening that don't believe people receive the Holy Ghost the same way they did in the Bible. You are what they call a cessationist. That is, you believe that the end of the New Testament church era also was the end of the time of miracles and the end of the time of signs and wonders and the end of the time of receiving spirit infilling exactly like they did in the New Testament. You don't believe that. They receive that. So, but what if I told you that I've received it? What would you say about that? And you had to look me right in the eye, and you know that I'm talking to you and that I'm not crazy. And I said, "No, I've received this." "Well, did you speak in tongues?" "Oh, yes. Yes, I spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance." It wasn't some kind of psychobabble or something of a mentally deranged person. Or demonic or any other thing that people can think of to discount that. Have you ever thought about it? The Apostle Peter spoke in tongues. Paul spoke in tongues. Mary, the mother of Jesus, spoke in tongues. The 120 spoke in tongues. And the people that got the Holy Ghost at the household of Cornelius all spoke in tongues, because Peter said that these have received the Holy Ghost the same as we did, if you go back in an earlier chapter in the book of Acts. So they really did receive the Holy Ghost. And I really believe we're on the precipice of a different day. You know, there's kind of a reactionary effect when things get bad, when immorality is prominent. It's like the other day I heard some movie actress, I couldn't name her if I had to, but I just remember reading the quote that she made about, that'd probably be offensive to her that I couldn't remember her name, but you know, people sometimes aren't as important as they think they are. But anyway, she was lamenting the fact that Donald Trump became president of the United States of America. And she named a whole bunch of things that she was just so distressed about. And one of them was, "And my daughter's going to have to keep a baby that she doesn't want." Okay, now her daughter's not pregnant. Her daughter's just a teenager. But she's already talking about that her daughter's going to commit. If she doesn't want the baby, what's the chances that she's already married? Well, none. That's the whole concept. That's the whole idea. If she's married, she probably wants children. So the whole concept is her daughter is being immoral, but she thinks that's okay. But killing the baby, not being able to kill the baby, is a travesty that she just can't hardly live with. So, well, if you don't want her to have an if she can't have an abortion, well, don't commit fornication. Duh. Okay. So there's a, but immorality anymore is something that just, you know, oh, that doesn't make any difference. Well, I'm going to tell you, in society, it makes a difference. And somebody says, well, that's just my business. It's a private affair in a bedroom somewhere. That's not true. That's not true. When those things occur, they affect everybody. They affect society. They affect the family. When you start having abortions, they affect health care. They affect taxes. They affect the mores of a nation that gives it the glue and the foundation that America was built on in the family. So, you know, this is just the world we live in. But when you see, that my whole point of that was, when you see the declining of morals and you see people that are just espousing things they could not possibly believe them. They're so nuts. For example, that men and women playing sports are equal, that there's no proof. One guy here this last week said there's no proof that this is too funny to tell almost, but that there's no proof. I guess he meant statistical data or something. That that women are inferior to men in sports in terms of strength and size and so forth. So he's making this whole case. Now, there's plenty of people pushing back. I'm not on a political jaunt this morning, but I'm just saying, when all this wacko stuff is going on, I mean, that is wacko. That's not, I'm not wacko for saying that. You're wacko if you believe that. And so this guy couldn't possibly believe that. I mean, you just take a any sport you wanted and give a team of the best men and the best women, and it's like, let's try football. Tackle football. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But anyway, when you see a society that is caught in lying to itself, all of that is a form of dishonesty. It's misguided by twisted and distorted and perverted concepts about the human race that violate everything about nature and about the health of the human race and the future of the human race. These things actually work against the future of the human race. Therefore, nature is against them, which means it's not natural. And it's not normal. Somebody says, well, what do you mean it's not normal? We're normal. No, normal is determined. Just look it up in the dictionary. Normal is determined by what the preponderance of the group does is what is the norm for a group. And the preponderance of people are not transgender. The preponderance of people are not homosexual. The preponderance of people are not a whole lot of things. Women have never been, on a whole, as strong as men. And so, but when all of this is going on, somebody says, well, I'm just so mad at everybody that says those things. That's not an answer. They are just people, and they are misguided people, and they can be dangerous, of course. But it's what's behind that that is the problem. And what's behind that is sin and demonic forces that want any way they can. Their primary goal is the destruction of the human race. That's their primary goal, because they want dominance on the earth. And any way they can get it, they're going to work at it. All that to say, when all of that is happening, don't despair. Because more than one time in history, it shows that while that is happening, that is a seedbed in which revival thrives and proliferates. When I was a boy, I was raised in a Pentecostal church. When I was a boy, very few people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our church or any of the other churches in that area. Very few. Very few. And so now here we are on a Sunday night, 48 people received the Holy Ghost, and we had a service here a while back. I told you about where 161 received the Holy Ghost in one night, and people receiving the Holy Ghost every week in not only our church, but many churches across America. So let's not despair. And people who have espoused ideas that are just bizarre, just crazy, it doesn't mean everything about them is bad. They're caught in a frame of life that has been projected that they've embraced. But when you receive, like just yesterday, I got the report of a guy that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a church of a friend of ours. And he has, to make a living, he has a retail business, a cannabis retail business, marijuana and whatever drugs that can be sold purportedly for their medicinal value, you know, for people's health. He owns one of these businesses now, and he received the Holy Ghost. Now he won't keep that business because that business is counter to the welfare and well-being of the human race and of the individual who's taking those things and which is inducing a certain amount of surreal, meaning not real, but a little bit imaginary. In terms of peace or comfort or relief or whatever. And so anyway, we're just glad that people are receiving the Holy Ghost, that because the Holy Ghost is the spirit of Jesus Christ, and that's the spirit of resurrection. That's the spirit of human life on the highest level, which is spiritually, which equates to reconnection with the God that created the universe on a personal level. Somebody says, that's so astounding, I can't believe that. That's the astounding part of Christianity, is that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the great thing. There's no other religion that has anything to equate to that. And the fact that it happened, you say, well, how do I know what happened? Well, he promised after he rose from the grave that his resurrected spirit could be transferred to us who are dead in trespasses and sins. And so when it's transferred to us, then we have the spirit of the resurrected Christ, which is a quickening. Quickening is an old English word for life-giving. It is a life-giving spirit. As contrasted to the spirit we're born with of Adam, there's only two corporate fathers in the human race, Adam, one, and what the Bible calls the last Adam, or Adam, and then the Bible calls Jesus the second man. And so you're in one of those two. Well, the first Adam, in Genesis 2:17, he was told, in the day you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. So he ate of the tree, he transgressed, and his spirit died. The theological definition for death is separation. So his spirit was separated from his creator and father and spiritual parent, God himself. His spirit was separated from that. He still lives soulical life like you and I live as sinners. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, you're receiving the spirit of the one that broke that chain of death, rose from the dead, and his spirit, the conquering and the triumphant human spirit, is available in the Holy Ghost. So when these people are receiving the Holy Ghost, they're receiving the spirit of Jesus Christ, the resurrected spirit of Jesus Christ, and the whole spirit of Jesus Christ, the resurrection spirit, the divine, original, creative spirit, everything that is identified as spirit is received, Holy Spirit is received by those that receive the Holy Spirit. So if you haven't received that, this would be a good time for you to maybe find out a little bit more about it and say, tell me what can I do to receive this? And we'll be glad to tell you. We'll be glad to tell you. All right. Well, thank you for being with us. Don't forget, tomorrow is a great session of All Things Apostolic. With Jennifer Barrett, Professor Jennifer Barrett, and Wednesday with Dr. Casey Sees. Don't miss any of it. It's all going to be great. Thank you for being with us today.